I'm Grayson Willis, and I'd like to welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I pray that today's broadcast is a half hour of hope for your life.
And I'm Margaret Michael. I am so grateful to be here today and to hopefully give us a word of hope for our lives.
And today we're going to focus in on John chapter 15, the first five verses. And I'm going to start out by reading that to us. Then Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. He removes every one of my branches that doesn't produce fruit. He also prunes every branch that does produce fruit to make it produce more fruit. You are already clean because of what I have told you. Live in me, and I will live in you. A branch cannot produce any fruit by itself. It has to stay attached to the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit unless you live in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me, while I live in them, will produce a lot of fruit, but you can't produce anything without me." Pastor Margaret, that's a lot of information packed in those verses, but a lot of, like I told you before we started the broadcast, a lot of encouragement to let us know it's not reliant on ourselves, but we have to rely on God in order to produce fruit or to have good works or to do good works, I guess I should say.
Yeah, and I think this is the challenge of the believer, is to stay in that day-to-day relationship, making sure that we are connected to the vine. And what does that look like on a daily basis? We know that when things maybe get tough in our life, or we have something that we're going to do that we know that we're going to have to really rely on His strength, I think in those times we find ourselves making sure that we've been in that quiet place and in the Word and in prayer. And then sometimes we can find ourselves maybe just in the humdrum, you know, life is going along and there's not anything really bad happening, but not anything going on, it's really big. And so I think it's easy to find ourselves in a place in the ordinary days, maybe not leaning into the place that comes from, that sap that runs through that vine, for us being filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been reading a book by Shauna Nyquist, and it's about leaving. It's called Present Over Perfect, leaving behind frantic for simpler, a more soulful way of living. And I was reading in it recently, and she was talking about how, you know, she has small children, and I know we're not all there today. We're all ages and at all paths in our life, but I think we can all maybe get a little picture of this in our own lives as we ask God what that is for us, how we engage the people and the Lord around us. And she's talking about, she was what she's going to call fake resting. She was being still, maybe looked like she was resting, but she was still working, always ticking off that list of things that she had to do, that mental list, and just always had her mind somewhere. It looked like she was resting, but was she really? And she said as she did that, a couple of days in a row, she had sick children. And so by the time these few days were over, she had already taken care of all of her emails. She had ordered Christmas gifts and had done all these things. And at the end of those few days, she said she found herself so tired. And so she had to be real with herself and say, you know what, I haven't really been with the Lord. I have been still, but my mind hasn't been where it needs to be. And I think for all of us, that's really, it happens. It's easy for us to find ourselves in that place.
And Pastor Margaret, as you were talking, some of the thoughts that came to my mind is we need to be still and know that God is God and know that He is the vine and we are the branches. And when we start to rely on our own strength or get in that habit that's so easy to do in the busyness of life, just doing. And we can just forget that we just need to take time to retreat or take time to rest in Him, true rest, not just pretending to rest or making our minds think that we're resting when we're not really getting true rest. But we really need to take a time to refresh, to refocus on what's most important, to give us strength to do the everyday tasks that we all have to do.
Right. And she was just talking about this emptiness that she had before she was a believer, and how she kind of filled up the time then. And now, as a believer, as a mom, she said that, you know, there are those empty places that every one of us have in our lives. And we know that empty place is a void which only God can fill. But there are all these ways that we try to fill that up, whether it is working, volunteering, working around the house, working outside, whatever that thing is, hiking. And none of those things are wrong. They're all good things. But when we get so caught up in them that we forget Him, that's when the problem comes. And she said, you know, we can actually use those things like a drug. And it keeps us from being able to connect to the things that matter, like our own hearts and the people that we love. And she said, that's what these things will do. They isolate you. And so just to think about those things, you know, we can say, well, we don't do drugs. You know, we're doing good works. We're busy. We're doing this for the Lord. And if we're not attached to the vine, that's not fruit. She finishes up the chapter with this. She said, most of us have a handful of these drugs, and it's terrifying to think of living without them. It is terrifying, wildly unprotected, vulnerable, staring our wounds right in the face. But this is where we grow, where we learn, where our lives actually begin to change. And it's just coming into that place where we let Him minister to us, maybe in places we don't even know we need ministering to. That's when being connected to the vine. I think about the children of Israel. You know, there was manna for them every day. They couldn't get 2 days worth of manna except over the Sabbath. And they had to trust God daily for their nourishment. And that's a picture for us spiritually. And sometimes it's moment by moment. Being connected to the vine is so important. And she also said this, busyness. She actually quoted Eugene Peterson in saying, busyness is an illness of the spirit.
Yes, Pastor Margaret. Well, when you were talking about, you know, we're not addicted to drugs, but there's other things that we can so-called get addicted to. And we say, well, they're good things. They're volunteering, you know, being a part of a community or being a part of a church or, you know, helping people out. But if we lose the true reason why we do those things, or, you know, who it is who's given us the power to do those things, then we kind of lose the purpose or, you know, the importance of it or where we get our strength to do those things. And we don't want to ever forget why it is we do what we do and who we're truly doing it for. Because in the Bible, He says, you know, when you've helped the least of these, you've helped Me. And so it's very important not only to remember that He's the vine and we're the branches and that He's the one we get our strength from, but also He's the one that we're truly serving others for, and we don't want to get caught up in doing good works just for good works' sake.
That's right.
We want to do good works for Him and partnering with Him. Really, He's partnering with us because it's like the song says, He doesn't need us, but He wants us.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we talk a lot about the ministry of presence, and if we're going in on our own strength, what do we have to give? We really don't have anything to give if we do that. And I read a story this morning, actually, out of the Grace and Peace magazine that the Nazarene Publishing House puts out. And there's a story in here. It caught my eye, of course, because it's titled The Ministry of Presence. And it's about ministering to people at the end of life. This is a story of a chaplain in the Church of the Nazarene, and she tells a story about visiting a large university, a hospital in Pittsburgh. And as she was walking by the nurse's station, she said she noticed this large note. It said, "We practice NPDA, and that is, we practice no patient dies alone." And when we think about presence, what it means to show up for people and for us not to feel alone. She said, in this hospital, if there's a family member that can't be there, that this is a beautiful ministry of presence where the hospital believes so much that people should not be alone at the end of life, that they have people that come in and actually sit with these folks until they pass on. And what an honor to be in a holy place like that at the end of someone's life. And this is what we want to be prepared for anytime that we interact with people. And she said this, she said, the most basic and powerful way to connect to another person is to listen. Just listen. Perhaps the most important thing we can give each other is our attention. A loving silence often has more power to heal and to connect than most well-intentioned words. God is present even in our silence. And that's powerful to think about that. You know, when we go in to a room, this morning I was in the ER with a precious 93-year-old lady, and she looked up at me, and the first thing out of her mouth was this: "I know the Lord has this. I know God has me today." And then she went on to say, "I don't know why I'm still here." And to me, there was no question in my mind why she's still here. I said to her, I said, "Do you know how it helped my faith this morning to walk in to your room and you're in the ER and the first thing you did was minister to my heart by letting me know before I ever said a word to you that you were trusting in the Lord today?" That's beautiful. That was fruit coming out of her life. And she was the one in adversity.
Yeah, Pastor Margaret, I think a lot of times the greatest influence or impact that we have as Christians, we probably won't even realize till we get to heaven someday. And I mean, just living, that's why it's so important just to live the Christian life, the Christian example, because we never know who's watching us. We never know who's around. And even if it's just the Lord that sees us, that's important enough to live a life that's honoring Him and pleases Him. But we just never know who we might encourage. Like you said, that lady that you visited in the ER was wondering why she was still here. Probably like, you know, I've done all that I can do in this life. Why is God? But it could be something as simple as encouraging somebody or, you know, strengthen somebody's faith. Like you said, she strengthened your faith because you were going in there to encourage her and she ended up encouraging you.
That is so true. She had no idea what she did for me. I just needed to hear that this morning and to hear that testimony of who God was to her. And just to see that, not to have a negative spirit because she's sick and she's in the ER and she doesn't know what this means, maybe a stay. She could have said all of that, but instead she professed that the Lord was with her and He had it. And like I said, sometimes we think we're going to help other people, and actually the Lord is helping us when we make visits like that. But how is it that we abide in the vine? How is it that we abide, and we have to be connected to the Lord? And I just read a little bit to you at the beginning out of a present-day author, but this morning I want to share just a little bit from, it's actually Andrew Murray on Absolute Surrender, and it's from the early 1900s. So going back a century to see what he has to say about this idea of the vine and the branch. And he says, the vine does the work, and the branch just has to receive from the vine the sap, which is changed into grapes. And he shares about a story in London. There is a vine that sometimes bore a couple of thousand bunches of grapes, and people were astonished at its growth and rich fruit. Afterward, it was discovered what was the cause of it. Not so very far away runs the river Tines, and the vine has stretched its roots away hundreds of yards underground until it came to the riverside, and there in all the rich dirt of the riverbed, it had found rich nourishment and obtained moisture, and the roots had drowned the sap all that distance up and up into the vine. As a result, there was abundant, rich harvest. The vine had work to do, and the branches had just to depend upon the vine and receive what it gave. And he goes on to say, how does he fulfill the trust of that dependence? He does it by sending down the Holy Spirit, not now and then, only as a special gift. Remember, the relationship between the vine and the branches is such that hourly, daily, unceasingly, there is the living connection maintained. The sap does not flow for a time and then stop and then flow again, but from moment to moment, the sap flows from the vine to the branches. And just so, my Lord Jesus wants me to take that blessed position as a worker, and morning by morning, and day by day, and hour by hour, and step by step, in every work I have, to go out to just abide before him in the simple, utter helplessness of one who knows nothing and is nothing and can do nothing. He says, oh, beloved workers, study that word nothing. You sometimes sing, and I've never heard this song, but I've heard someone told me that they went out online and the lyrics are out there. It says, oh, to be nothing. But have you really studied that word and prayed every day and worshiped God? It goes on to talk about, if I am something, then God is not everything. But when I become nothing, God can become all. And the everlasting God in Christ can reveal himself fully.
That's good, Pastor Margaret. And as you were talking, I was thinking about something that a pastor shared recently in a pastor's gathering that takes place here at the church a few times a year. And he was talking about, it was a story about a tree and how the master was like, in order to use you, I must cut off your branches. And the tree was like, oh, don't cut off my branches. You can use me, but don't cut off my branches. And he said, you can't be of use to me unless I cut off your branches. So the tree was like, if you must, cut off my branches. And then after cutting off the branches, the master comes back a little bit later and says, I must also cut you down. And like, cut me down, but like, I'm tall and I provide shade, and like, I can use you better if I cut you down. And the tree reluctantly was like, well, if you must, then cut me down. And then it's so beautiful. It talks about how the master cuts the tree down, and then it has to cut it in half. And it's like, oh, don't cut me in half. Mm-hmm. And it says, well, if you must, cut me in half. And so then it talks about how the master used the tree and kind of created this kind of way for the water to water the garden. Mm. So he spread the tree limbs out, or spread it out so that it, after he had cut it, so that the water could run from the river and into the garden and water the garden, and how the master got more out of the tree by being cut down than it ever produced the way it was standing full strength or full height or full shade. So we never know how God's going to use our lives, and we might wonder different things in our lives, like, God, you know, why is this happening or why is this your plan? But we just don't see what's up ahead. We don't know what he has at work. And so just remembering that he's the vine and we're the branches, but also we have to be willing.
Right.
The branches have to be willing to submit to the master in order for him to use us and get the most out of us, the most potential.
Yeah, and you read earlier about the vine and the branches. You know, there's pruning that happens, and that's not always pleasant, but it is necessary that those things that don't bear fruit, you know, the Lord will take them out of our lives, and sometimes we don't understand those things and why it's happening when things come in our life. But I know one thing for sure, the Lord does not allow anything to come into our life to harm us. It's to help us and to strengthen us for His glory and for His honor. You know, Grayson, it's so funny how the Lord will just bring a memory back to you, and He brought a memory back to me this morning. Growing up, I had three older brothers, and we were spread out over about a 12-year span. And so, Mom, when I was growing up, Mom had teenagers, and I can just remember as a little girl going in the bathroom, and there was a Bible that always was in our bathroom. And I've come to realize later in my life that that's the only place that she could have quiet time, that she could have rest and be away from everybody, and nobody would bug her. And so we have to do whatever to make sure that we have that time, carving out that time to be just still before the Lord, and whether it's in the morning or the evening, whether it's we find a place in our home, we go outside, wherever it is that we feel that we're close to the Lord and is comfortable for us. And we've talked about this abiding in the vine and abiding, you know, what does that look like? What does it look like to have fruit in our life like that abundant grapevine that I read the story about earlier on? And, you know, we have to go to Galatians 5:22-23. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." And I read through verse 26 there. But if we are living in a way that these things, love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, those things are evident in our life. Those are the things that we live by. That's great. But when we find ourselves in that place where the flesh is trying to rise up and take its stand in our life, then I think it's a pretty good sign that we're not living by the Spirit, but we are living by the flesh. And it is all about relationship to live by the Spirit.
And Pastor Margaret, a thing that stuck out to me as you're reading those is that we can't, as Christians, we can't pick and choose which of those we want to have. It
right.
says the fruit of the Spirit is, and it lists all of those things. And if we want to have the fruit of the Spirit living in us, we have to have all of those things. Now, it doesn't mean that there will be times where we, you know, where we'll mess up or we'll,
oh, absolutely. We'll be I did yesterday.
Short on patience or... That one just sticks out to me, but just
right.
different times. But it just means that we need to practice those things on a regular basis, and we need to do our best with the strength of the Spirit.
Right.
Because we can't do it on our own. We won't have any of those things on our own strength.
That's right.
But it just means that we need to ask the Lord to help us, especially in the areas that we're weakest in, to help us, you know, to be better in those areas.
Right. And when we find ourselves in a place where maybe the feelings that are coming up in us are not the fruit of the Spirit, just using that as a reminder. And sometimes it's in that very moment, just asking God to come in and give us what we need for that moment to be His vessel, and not to take that back and live out of the flesh in that moment. And that is easier said than done, because we are human. And there are times that we all have them where things kind of rise up in us. But I can assure you that living by the Spirit, like you said, is not possible without a close relationship with Jesus.
Amen, Pastor Margaret. And I think it will be good as a refresher to go back and reread John chapter 15, the first five verses, just to kind of recap what we've talked about today. Then Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. He removes every one of my branches that doesn't produce fruit. He also prunes every branch that does produce fruit to make it produce more fruit. You are already clean because of what I have told you. Live in me, and I will live in you. A branch cannot produce any fruit by itself. It has to stay attached to the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit unless you live in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me while I live in them will produce a lot of fruit, but you can't produce anything without me."
Yes, that is a good recap, just to think about that again and really come to that understanding that we can do nothing apart from him. And I just want to resound one thing, that when we come to that place of a empty vessel where we know in ourselves we have nothing to give unless he comes and fills us, that is going to be eternal, then he can, I think we're so much more useful when we come to that conclusion. And I would like to pray for us as we close. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, I'm so grateful that you've given us your word of truth. We can go to your word and we can find encouragement and direction for our day. And Lord, I'm so grateful that you promised us and you promised your disciples as you were getting ready to ascend, that you told your disciples that you would send an advocate to help us, and it would be the Spirit of truth. And so, Lord, I'm so grateful that when you took your place in heaven at the right hand of the Father, God, that you sent the Comforter, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit to come and help us to walk through this life here on earth, to help us to be your vessels, your love and your mercy and your grace and your kindness, your tenderness, your patience with other people and with ourselves. And so, God, today, as those listening maybe reflect on what this is for them and their life, I pray, God, that you will just resound in their hearts that today is a new day. Today is the first day of the rest of our life, and you just want to come in, and you don't wait for us to get it right. You take us where we are, and you walk from there with us. So God, we thank you for relationship with you and relationship with others, and we rejoice today knowing that you are a faithful God and that you can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. We pray that it was a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.